Hands up if you know Pete. We all know, many of us know Pete. Can we just give Pete a big round of applause?
Am I on? Yes, yes. Oh, one, two, three. Oh, dear. Morning, everybody. Yeah, I am. You can hear me all right, can you? Yeah. Am I all right? Yes, lovely. Testing, one, two, three. Apparently, I am. Can you not hear me? Yeah, you can hear me. You can hear me on the microphone, can you? Yes, yes, yes. Do you want to move it? Whatever. We'll make it up as we go along. It's called a sermon. Oh, no, sorry. Okay. Great to be here this morning. Fantastic. And I'd just like to read from the book of Ephesians. So if you'd like to turn to that, Ephesians chapter 3, starting at verse 16, going through to verse 21. So that's Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 to 21. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Obviously, luckily, Steve knew what I was preaching on, so he did his song drama. No. Actually, it's amazing, isn't it? How good is God? You know, when you write a sermon, you think, okay, God, I think this is what you're saying. It's really encouraging. A bit worrying when Duncan starts reading about the fullness and Steve, you're thinking, we've done the sermon, it's great. But it's exciting stuff. I think when Duncan asked me to preach, I really knew what it was that I wanted to share. Because I think I've been on a journey, certainly for the last year or so. And I hope as we go through this, that although it's my journey, you feel that you can be part of that. I don't know what sort of a person you are. Whether you are a person that always looks on the bright side of life, or whether you're someone that always looks on the possible worries and things that could go wrong. I wonder how people know who it is that you are. What is it that you put out there? Do people see you as outgoing and confident? Are you somebody that likes to sneak into the background? Or are you someone that always likes to be up there in everyone's face? All right, I know you're thinking Pete.
I was going to say, which one are you, Pete?
And actually, all my life I've been noisy, confident, outgoing, the loud, the person at the party who's always got the jokes, the party, the person who was always invited as a child or a young person because I would always be the person that would get people chatting and be social. I'm the person at the party who's always doing something. I like to be on the barbecue. I like to be doing the hospitality. But actually, deep down, and you might be surprised, I'm actually quite shy. Deep down, I really, really don't like really, really big groups. If I was in a really massive crowd, actually, I wouldn't be that noisy. And it's just how sometimes that we are, aren't we? We have a look that we feel is almost an expectation. It's sort of great, and we don't know where it comes from, but there's sort of, and we say, oh, well, I'm like that. That's who I am. And in my work life, I've always been a manager. I've always been a supervisor in charge of other people. And I'm the sort of person that believes if you work hard, you get what, you know, you get the results, don't you? So naturally, it would follow that in church, if you work hard, it says here that you may be filled to the full measure of the fullness, to the measure of the fullness of God. So if you work hard, you are going to get the fullness of God, because it must work like that, mustn't it? If you are there every week, You're giving regularly. You know, you're coming in, you're talking to people. I'm being happy, but life's not really that great, but I'm doing it. Look, I'm out cooking on the church barbecue. I'm there, God. Come on, give me the fullness. Come on. I mean, isn't that how it works? You see, it's obvious here, isn't it? I mean, look, I've got my balloon, okay, and I'm going to put the fullness of God here. You know, it's great, isn't it? It's all right. You see, oh, no. The thing is, okay, it's really important. You see, you've got the fullness of God, and you just hold it here, and it, oh, no. No, you see, the thing is, I've got the fullness of God, and it's never, oh, right, okay. It's a bit rubbish, isn't it? You see, the problem is that actually, if you go around believing that by somehow, by all the things that I can work and do, and by the facade that I put out, I got the fullness of God. Actually, what I've got is I've got someone else's experience, someone else's fullness, something else, but I've not got, really got the fullness of God in me. And actually, I don't know if anyone else feels that sometimes. Sometimes do you feel that everything is going brilliantly? And when you're in here on a Sunday morning, when we've got Steve the man, or we've got anyone else, one of our amazing worship, we are having a glorious, glorious time. It's the best. We are at the best party. And we go out and we have barbecue, we fellowship with one another, and then we wake up on Monday morning. And something happens at work, and we think about our family and our life situations, and we think, Oh, and that balloon suddenly deflated. Because the thing about this is, when Paul prays for them to have the fullness of God, he's not talking about something temporary. He's not talking about a short-term fix. He's talking about something that transforms your lives, something that makes you so different, something that enables you to live in a way that makes a difference. You see, I think with me, I always thought that somehow I had to earn favour with God. And I don't know, does anyone else feel that? You know, somehow we've got to earn the favour of God. And do you know what? It's a load of old rubbish. You know, it's rubbish. Let's just say that. We cannot, you know, how can we earn the favour of God? You know, this is God who so loved the world that sent his only son to die for us. We didn't deserve it. It was a grace. It was an unmerited gift, a gift we didn't deserve. How can you earn something that you, how can you, you know, we didn't have it. It was a gift from God. How can I feel that? And you know, I really, really have to say, the most important thing, if nothing else, remember that we are saved by grace. Let's say that. We are saved by grace. Yeah? Saved by grace. We can't earn it. We can't do anything about it, okay? God's just a bit crazy like that. He just loves us for who we are. He just loves us. And do you know what? He loved you when you didn't know him, and if this morning you don't know him, do you know what? He still loves you, and he wants to know you. And do you know what? The sad thing is that you're missing out, because he's saying there, come on, I got a party for you. I want you to lavish the gifts on you. I want you to know what an amazing God I am. And if you don't know me as Lord and Saviour, you're missing out. You're missing out. And this morning, if you don't know God like that, you don't know Jesus Christ, I want to pray with you. You know, it's interesting, isn't it? I've got, you know, we've had some new parents in the church, you know, Zoe and Andrew, and I know that they've been to some parenting classes. But the one thing I'm fairly sure that they've learned is that parenting classes are great, but it's only when you have a baby you know what it is to be a mum and a dad. You know, and actually it's only when you have that personal relationship with God that you know what it is and what a difference it makes in your life. This morning, I just feel God, and we've just had some amazing songs, but do you know what? We need to know that we are loved and accepted by God. And I have been to a number of conferences recently, and I've been to various events, and the one thing, the message that keeps coming out is that we need to know that we are sons and daughters. We are sons and daughters. And, sorry, I'm going to fall over, aren't I? Yeah. And I want to almost, have you ever seen one of those films, you know, where you see a situation and the film starts with almost like the end of the film and then you have the flashback? And I think that's almost sometimes where we go. We read this and we say, you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God, yes! And then you say, but God isn't, God's pretty, it's not really worked out, has it? You know, God, this fullness, it's okay, you know. But actually what we need to do is we need to go back to the beginning. And what's the beginning is in verse 16 and 17. That he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell where? In your hearts. In your hearts. And, you know, that's the most important thing. I think Steve said it in one of the songs he was singing. Actually, when we become Christians, we receive God, we get filled with the Holy Spirit, and we know that God loves us. But actually, and we know it, we know God loves us, and there is a change in our heart, but, you know, we're just a bit slow sometimes at learning. You know, and actually, we're quite emotional creatures, so, you know, if we don't feel it, well, it can't be so. But actually, you know, we need to know the love of God in our hearts. And it says, so that Christ, is it say he may pop up in your hearts? He may dwell, a permanent resident in your heart, a permanent resident. The Holy Spirit needs to put that in. It needs to be rooted in you. And I pray that you being rooted and established in love, rooted isn't just a sort of a, you know, Linda does gardening and, you know, you go to the garden centre, she buys some little silly looking plant and tells me, and we put them out and it's great. And then we leave them, and then about 3 years later, to be fair, sometimes I may not water them, or they may not get watered, or the bush. And she says, well, we can dig that one out. And you think, well, that's easy. It's really hard, because actually, over those 3 years, its roots have gone down, deep into the ground. Deep. Psalm 1 talks about us being by the river and our roots. And do you know what? Sometimes, I think that's what's so important in us. We need to have that rooted love. And that's what's really challenged me, is that I've been to lots of things and I've sung lots of songs and it's exciting and I come away with such a warm, fuzzy feeling. I'm like a Ready Brat kid with a glow. It's so exciting. And then about a week goes on and I think, oh, where's that gone? I need another bowl of... But actually, there's something that wasn't quite rooted, you know. I know Duncan preached it about building our house, you know, our house on a firm foundation. You know, we don't want to build it on sand. And if we base our faith and our relationship with God on how our life is now, how we're feeling, whether it's right and wrong, is everything wonderful, we're in trouble. But actually, if we build our faith on the fact that we have a sure and certain future in an almighty God who has a place for us. We have a place in heaven, a promise, and we are eternal creatures. And we know that our sin has been wiped away and that we have an eternal future. It's exciting, yeah? It's exciting. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. And you know, I want people to catch hold of the revelation that I've got. That actually, for so long, I've just missed out on it. I just haven't understood how much God loved me. And I really, really, you know, if you could give it to somebody, you would. But God can. God can convict you of that deep revelation. You know, the love that God has for us and for the world. I love it. Steve, again, he's obviously done this, I can see. Wide, long, high and deep. You know, I know I've said many times, how can, and when I've spoken before, about how is it that I can know my wife? Can I buy a book about her? No. I can only... I tell you what, if I had, I'd have read it and wouldn't have got... No. Of course I would. She's a wonderful woman. She puts up with me. She must be very patient. But it's only by being in an intimate relationship. It's only by knowing Linda. You know, it's only that time you spend, you get to know people. And do you know what? We argue and things go wrong, but we don't throw our toys out the pram. And do you know, the same is thing with God. Sometimes, you know, God disappoints you and you need to say to him, actually, do you know what, God? I think you could have done better. You know what, God? I'm not desperately impressed with that answer. You know, God, I'm a bit frustrated. I went to a conference and had toothache. I paid money to this conference and I'm popping the pills and people are praying for me and I'm thinking, hello, God, what's happening? You know, your people are staying like Julian Adams, heaven's coming down. I'm thinking, if heaven's coming down, where's my toothache gone? It's just annoying. And the truth of it is, do you know what? God can really handle us being real with him. We have to tell God that we're frustrated. We have to tell God that things aren't right. We have to tell God, do you know what? You know, God, my life's a bit rubbish. And I say that to young people as well. We'd be as old, you know, whatever, young or old, it applies. But unfortunately, at some point, you need to get to what you say. Do you know what, God? I need to give it all to you. Yeah. And I'm really sorry for my anger. Yeah. I'm sorry for my anger. And do you know what? Suddenly, the things that have seemed so big, just you suddenly look back and a new situation has happened. Yeah. And it's all resolved. Do you know, the problem is sometimes I think that for some unknown reason, when we talk about the fullness of God, we think, well, okay, what does it really mean? And how do I get there? And, you know, and we sort of try and relate it to our world. We think, well, okay, the fullness of God. So I want to have the fullness of God. Okay, that's brilliant. So I need God to pick me, don't I? I want the fullness of God. You know, I mean, how much fullness can God give you? Maybe it's limited. So I want it, okay? So, you know, give Joe a little bit, but I'd like the fullness. Pick me. I want to be in the A team. I want to be in the A team. Now, at school, I was never really picked for anything for sport. I can't imagine. I wasn't even in the C team. I was more like the mascot. But do you know what? Actually, the one thing I've discovered is that God only has an A team.
Yeah, that's right.
And we are his A team. You know, we are first fruits. We're not backup second. We're not mistakes. We're not, oh dear, I sort of made man. It all went a bit wrong. And I've got, you know, I'm always caught on the back foot. God is eternal. He has great plans for us. And he loves us unconditionally. And do you know what? However many times we go, oh, we'll just, you know, go that way. It's like the sat-nav. And you think, oh, I know better. I'll overrule it. Ah, oh, I'm stuck in traffic in a one-way closed road. Okay. Do you know what? However many times we mess it up, God will always help us to get out of it. Amen. If we want to. And as we do that, and as we trust and grow in our relationship with God, we will know the measure of fullness. We know the fullness of God. I've been reading a really good book by a prophetic guy called Sean Bolts. And he really wrote about the way that God views us. And God views us not as we are, but as we could be.
Amen. That's right.
And he wrote this. If the kingdom of God was just about principles of right and wrong, then Jesus would never have run after Peter after the resurrection and restored him through love. He would have judged Peter as unworthy and looked for someone more righteous. But God isn't looking at our current weakness or lack of righteousness as a disqualifying quality. But he sees what we would be like if we follow him with our whole heart. And God loves us in that way. It's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just think, you know, if God had said, oh, Peter, you denied me. Right, reject, that's it, gone. You know, the fullness of God is, it's exciting, isn't it? It's exciting. And this morning, I just feel God just wants to let you know that you are accepted and not rejected. Do you really believe that? Accepted and not rejected. That God this morning wants to affirm your sonship and your daughtership. He wants to affirm that to you. And he wants to let you know that actually his relationship with him It's got nothing to do with performance and everything to do with relationship. Everything to do with relationship. Everything. So we're excited about the fullness of God? Yeah? Do we want the fullness of God? Can you think of anything that stops us getting the fullness of God? Can we think of anything now? Because if we are, if we can, let's just throw it away. Sin. Let's reject it. Let's repent it. Let's throw it off. Throw off everything that hinders us and run the race set out for us. You know, as I've, over the last year, I really thought my identity was in possibly being a leader in a church. I had to preach, had to have a title, and that's who I was. That was really important. And over the last year, God said to me, "You're mental." Actually, do you know what? Do you know what? You don't need any of that. And actually, if I give you those things, that's great. But actually, who you are is you are a son of God. Amen. You are a son. Amen. A son. And actually, do you know what? You know, I want you to get involved in all the things that I've called you for. I've got such amazing plans for you. Such fantastic plans for you. Don't try and decide to make your own plans. Say, "God, wholly available am I. What is it you want from me?" Yeah. You imagine Duncan, in a, when he planted the church, he was in Wimbledon, he thought, "Do you know, I don't really want to go to North London. I just don't really fancy it. You know, I like it in Wimbledon, I can see the tennis, it's really nice, Jill and I are quite happy. I don't really want to go." Or they come here with their children and actually, you know, there's not a lot of youth work for their kids. In fact, they were just their kids. And they think, "Do you know, this is pretty rubbish. I'll just jack it in." And the reality is we think, oh, they couldn't imagine. Why couldn't they? They're human beings. They're just, you know, the only thing that, what's the difference? But the difference is they are people who heard God and they knew what it was to have that fullness of God, that call on their life. And they stepped out and they made a difference. Look where we are now. And when we know that fullness, I love this, you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Our hearts are made right first, spirits dwelling in us, it's rooted in us. Then you may be filled to the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do just a little bit, immeasurably more. Amen. Immeasurably more. Immeasurably more. What's immeasurable? It's immeasurable. It's immeasurable. You can't count it. It's great. How exciting is that? Immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. I mean, I've got a pretty good imagination, but it's immeasurably more. Immeasurably more. But do you know what? We're going to listen to this and say, "Oh, it's great, like that, yeah, yeah." What are we going to do with it tomorrow? And the next day? You know, the key thing is we need to sustain what it is that God puts in our heart. And we sustain that by reading his word, by pressing into him in worship and in private prayer. And do you know what? I've been reading the Bible and I decided that I was going to read the Bible every day this week. This year, rather. Every day this year. And do you know what? Every day this week. That's good. I've decided that. Every day this year. And do you know what? Because last year I tried the same thing and I looked back at the end of the year and I realised that I'd missed 243 days, which wasn't great. And actually, you get behind a few days, but I catch up. And do you know what? Actually, God doesn't say, "Oh, good, you haven't read your Bible, right?" It's irrelevant. But do you know, it's about a discipline. Yeah. Do you know what? I want to know more of God. And how do I know more of God? I have to dig into the Word of God. And whether it's you do it, however you do it, whatever it is, you've got to say, how did Linda and I get to go on date nights? Jerry and Carol and I are fantastic. They go out and they make time for each other. And they say, I said to Jerry and Caroline, "Yeah, why do you go out on these meals, you know, because Jerry likes to fall asleep by 10 o'clock at night." And Caroline says, "Because it's the only time I get to talk to him." And do you know what? The truth of it is, when are the times that we get to talk to our Heavenly Father? And if you can't think of them and they're not daily, we need to readjust it. Will we miss an episode of something on television? Will we miss a soap? Will we miss a cricket match or a football match? We make time, don't we? Euro 2016, we're all there, we've geared up. prayer meeting, oh, do you know what? I just don't. I'm not so sure. It's really busy and it's quite hot and I've had a really hard week. Euro 2016, I'm there. Woo! It's Neighbours, I'm there. It's the EastEnders finale live, I'm there. And it's just about our priorities. And don't let the enemy lie to you. You've got an inheritance, not in God, in King Jesus. And do you know what the other thing I really wanted to say is, don't live in someone else's fullness. Don't live. You don't have to live in the shadow of someone else's fullness. Live in the dawn of your own. Live in the dawn of your own. Do you know what? God's got fullness for every one of us. And he's got some amazing plans. We're all different. There's only one Pete, thank goodness. But you know what? God has made us the way that we are. And he has some amazing plans. And he wants to do some amazing things with you. But actually, we've got to have the right heart. Because if we don't, then, you know, when you read Paul, you think, I don't know why he even wrote this. He's in prison. This poor bloke. He's had an amazing experience. I don't know about you, I would love to meet Jesus. The blindness I'm not so keen on, but I would love to meet Jesus. But actually, life for him was not plain sailing. But he transformed the world. We are, you know, through his obedience to God, we have amazing letters. And actually, when God calls us and he says, I want to give you my fullness, I want you to know my fullness. It doesn't say I want you to know my fullness and everything's just going to be hunky-dory. He wants to do some amazing things with you. And he has some amazing plans for us. But they might not be that easy. But it doesn't matter because our security is in King Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Amen. Author and perfecter. I just probably could talk for another 10 minutes or so, but I'd just like to pray for a few people. I've really been away out with Dave a few times on prophetic conferences and things like that. And do you know what I've learned is that, you know, actually, I'm really lucky because God doesn't mind failure. It's okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I just feel God's got some things to share for people. And I just hope I can share those, if that's all right. Cam, I've just felt for you, since this whole service began, that God just says that you are a man who does not need to live in the shadows of his parents. God says, I have some amazing plans for you. And I saw you by a river. And I saw you looking at the river. And I think God says, you've got some decisions to make. And you know, when you go across a river, you've got to make a decision. How deep is it? And make a call. And I think God says, you know, you just got to trust me. But don't live in the shadow of your family. And Mark, I just felt God, as you were playing, I just felt God saying, Steve. I've been so good. Sorry, Steve. Yeah. It's all right, God. It's good. It's okay. And I just feel, Steve, that God just says, as you were playing the keyboards, I just felt that you were almost like playing on people's hearts. And God says, you know, as you play, God says, you know, you are ministering to people's hearts, and I'm going to do more and more of that with you. Because when you sing something out in the Spirit, you are singing to people's hearts, and you're bringing something from heaven to earth. Something to heaven from earth. And I just think God says he wants to really receive that. And this morning, I can't tell you specifically who it is, but I just feel there are people here this morning. And I just feel that they are disappointed. Disappointed. And they've just not seen what it is that they feel God's promised them. And I just really feel God says that, you know, be real with me, but I will not disappoint you. I will not disappoint you. And remember that my ways are not your ways.
Yeah, that's right.
My timeline is not your timeline. And I just feel God has some, you know, God says, do not be disappointed. Because actually disappointment robs you of the joy that you have. I'm really sorry, but I don't know your name.
David.
Sorry, David. I just feel that I see you in a bit of a, almost like a bit of a, bit of a struggle, bit of a, it's almost like, I can't explain it really. It's almost like a sort of a, it's like two, as if it's something, it's like a piece of paper being like you could tear it, you know, like pulling up a bit of paper but I just feel that, I tell you what it is, it's like a tearing a page out of a book. And I almost feel God saying, do you know what? It's as if, I feel as if something, sort of, there's a struggle in your life, and I just feel God says, do you know what? You're stronger than that. And that, I just feel God saying, you know, he has his hand on that situation, and actually, that tension will pass, but he will be glorified in it. Yeah. I don't know if that means anything to you, I don't know if that's right or wrong, and I'm happy for it to be wrong, because at the end of the day, you know, you just step out in faith. But I just feel God saying, you know, I've got victory in that situation. I just wonder if we could all stand, if that's possible. Ask the magic musician to come back. Yeah, shut up. Oh, and the water spoon over there. Never mind, it's okay, it's a hot day. Yeah, it's going to happen, absolutely. Okay. I just wondered if we could just open up our hands, if that's okay. This morning, I just feel God says that, you know, I want you to know my fullness, my children. For you are my beloved. You are my beloved, and I know you by name. I see you when you run and when you fall over. I see when you get up and you feel that I'm not looking, but I see you, and I know you by name. And I declare my love over you this morning. And I say that, know that love deep in your heart. I feel God's rooting that love in people this morning now. He's taking it from your head and into your heart. And he wants you to know how wide and deep and long is that love. And that's rooted in your heart. So that your tomorrow is a brighter day. Not by your situation or circumstance, but because you have the love of God in your heart, rooted. And I just think God this morning says, I want to bring you all my fullness. Receive my fullness. Receive my fullness this morning. Receive every spiritual blessing. Receive the glorious inheritance that you have. I have for you. Receive the gifts I have for you. And I just feel God says, you know, there are some people here and they're thinking, oh, this isn't for me. And God says, yes, it is for you. Don't discount yourself. This is a word for everyone. You are mine and I am yours. I am yours. You have your name written in the book of life.